We turn to Psalm 51 again tonight. Psalm 51, a psalm of David. He cries out to God for joy. In verse 8, we heard about that this morning. And now we're going to consider how David is going to respond. He speaks of how he responds when, in the verses that follow, he speaks of how he will respond after he's given joy and forgiveness. So pay attention to the way David talks about his response of gratitude in verses 13 through 15, and even the verses that follow too talk about the gratitude of a forgiven sinner. Let's read the whole chapter. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. So far do we read God's inspired word tonight. The text is verses 13 through 15. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. This morning we heard joy and gladness as God spoke forgiveness to us. He said to us through the preaching, said, you, believer, are not guilty before me, but righteous because of Christ's work at the cross. And then we heard Christ say to us as we partook of the Lord's Supper, I broke my body and I shed my blood for you. Meaning, all the blessings of salvation are ours. He's with us. We rejoiced, and we do rejoice at that. I, a great sinner, you, great sinners, forgiven. Life with God, now and forever. Well, now we look at how the forgiven sinner uses his mouth in gratitude to God? How do I respond to this forgiveness that I know? Well, I am to use my mouth in gratitude. That's what David was determined to do. After asking for joy and forgiveness in verses 7 through 12 of Psalm 51, David then talks about how he will respond with gratitude using his lips. He says in verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors thy ways." Verse 14, "My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Verse 15, "My mouth shall show forth thy praise." So David would use his mouth to praise and thank God. And may we be moved through the word that is preached this afternoon to use our mouths also in gratitude to God for the forgiveness and joy He has given to us. We use our mouths often, and our mouths can be used very destructively, as James 3, a chapter we're familiar with. James 3 makes that plain. Our mouths can be used in a very wrong way and cause a lot of trouble. Well, may God work in us through the Word and sacraments to put away the wrong use of our mouth and use our tongues rightly to His glory. Let's consider the text under the theme, the forgiven sinner's speech. The forgiven sinner's speech. First, teaching transgressors. Second, singing and declaring God's greatness. And third, praying for strength. First, teaching transgressors. David says that when forgiven, he will use his mouth to teach transgressors God's ways. Verse 13, he says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Transgressors and sinners are those that are rebelling against God. The word transgress in Scripture, it means to rebel against God by stepping outside the boundaries of His law. God has given to us the law, says that's the way in which we're to walk. Well, a transgressor steps outside the boundaries of the law. He knows what he's to do, but he steps outside the bounds of the law. It's rebellion. The word sin in Scripture, from verse 13, it means to miss the mark or target that God has given. The mark or target that God has given to us is His law. But one who sins, he misses the target. And it's not just that he misses it by a little bit. He sees the target and he aims his life in the opposite direction. He sees that he is to love God and give Him glory in all he does, but when he sins, he aims his life instead at his own glory and not God's. So it's rebellion. Imagine that you see a target and you shoot the opposite direction. That's rebellion against the rules. Now, transgressors and sinners, those talked about in verse 13, they are those that are continuing in rebellion against God, not confessing, not turning. We all transgress. We all sin. But the end of verse 13 indicates that in this verse, David is talking about those that are continuing in sin, not sorry. The end of verse 13, David says, "Sinners shall be converted unto thee." Converted there means turned. Sinners shall be turned unto thee. The implication there, David showing, is that he's talking about those who are continuing in transgressions and sins. Now, he's especially referring to those that are transgressing and sinning in the church of the Old Testament, Israel. David's the king of Israel. So when he talks about transgressors and sinners, he's especially referring to those in the Old Testament church who are walking in a wrong way. That's the focus. He's talking about those in the church that are really doing what he had done for a time. We learned this morning David had gone on for 9 months at least in his sins. He's talking about those in the church who are doing what he did. He speaks of transgressors and sinners. And in verse 13, he says he will teach them God's ways. God's ways are his paths. God's ways include his paths for men. They include the paths in which he would have men to walk in. Often the words God's ways refer to his commandments in Scripture. God's ways for men include his commandments, and also the way of confession and repentance. That's God's way for sinners, the way of confession and repentance. In Psalm 32, another psalm that David wrote after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah, David shows that God's way for sinners is to say sorry for their sins and look for forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. David says in verse 5 of Psalm 32, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. So David, as a leader in Israel, as their king, he was saying in Psalm 32, saying, this is the way for you sinners, for everyone that's walking in a wrong way. Confess those sins, repent. That's the way. It's the way you're to walk. So God's ways that David references in verse 13 refers to the ways in which he would have us to walk. God's ways there also refer to the ways in which he walks. It refers to the way in which he deals with men. It refers to the way in which he deals with sinners. In Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, David speaks of God as the one that delivers from guilt or forgives. For instance, in Psalm 32, verse 5, David talks about confessing and then says, and God forgave me. In both Psalms 32 and 51, David also speaks of God as the one that cleanses his people within when they cry out to him for that cleansing by his grace. God cleanses them. So David is saying in these Psalms, this is God's way. This is how he deals with his people. He forgives them when they cry out to him for that forgiveness. He cleanses them when they call out to him for that cleansing. That's how God works. In Psalm 51, verse 13, David says he will teach transgressors God's ways. He'll instruct them, that means. He'll instruct them so that they learn something, so that they learn how to do something. One can instruct with his mouth. One can instruct by example. David says he's going to teach transgressors God's ways. He would teach them God's ways by showing them what God's commandments say. He would teach transgressors God's ways by showing them that they've sinned against those commandments. This is how, he would say. He would teach transgressors God's ways by then showing them the way of confession and repentance. And he would show them God's ways by telling them how God forgives. God forgives for the sake of the Messiah to come. He'd explain all of that. David would teach sinners these ways of God so that they got it, so that they understood it. And he would teach them with the goal that they would then go forward confessing, repenting, and serving God, and with the goal that they would enjoy his forgiveness, have great joy within. He wanted sinners to be converted to God, as the end of verse 13 shows. So David says he would teach, and he did. He did Psalm 52 and Psalm 30, or Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. That's evidence that David did go on to teach transgressors God's ways. In both of these Psalms, he teaches us the way of confession and repentance. And he taught the sinners back then too. In both of these Psalms, he teaches about God's forgiveness and His mercy and His cleansing work. In these Psalms, David is saying, follow my lead, do what I have done by the grace of God, and enjoy His wonderful mercy and forgiveness. In Psalm 51, verse 13, David indicates that he would be determined to teach sinners, all in gratitude. That's what would be his motivation. He would be wanting to show gratitude to God for what he'd been given. That comes out when you follow the logic of the psalm. And in verses 7 through 12, David asks for forgiveness and joy. And then in verse 13, he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. The idea is that when he was forgiven, when God announced that to him through the prophets, and when he was restored to joy, then in thanksgiving, he would teach. He would help transgressors, all in thankfulness. He knew he didn't deserve forgiveness. He knew he didn't deserve joy. He knew he deserved to be left in his sins, continuing in them, in misery, all the way to destruction in hell. He knew that. So when God forgave him for the sake of the Messiah to come, he would be determined to show thanks to God. He would not go forward ignoring fellow sinners. He wouldn't be thinking, well, they're on their own, they'll be fine, or they deserve just to be left in their own ways. No, he wouldn't be thinking along those lines, but instead, in gratitude to God, he'd want to teach them, he'd want to help them. He knew personally that God uses the Word to bring a sinner to confess and look for forgiveness in the blood of Christ. That had happened with him. He knew how powerful the Word was. So he says in verse 13, I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. God will use this instruction for the good of sinners in Israel. So the idea is, David's so thankful to God, he's going to teach. He's going to use his mouth for that, seeking that sinners would turn and glorify the great God, the merciful God, the faithful God that he knew. Now what about us? What about us forgiven sinners today? Transgressors appeared in front of David, while transgressors appear in front of our eyes and our lives today. Maybe it's our children. We see them maybe commit a sin several times, again, maybe even again and again and again. Maybe it's another member of the church that's walking in sin, or maybe has committed a gross sin. Or maybe we have a neighbor here in town, or a neighbor at work, or a neighbor in college that's walking in a wrong way. Well, forgiven sinners today do what David was determined to do. They teach transgressors God's ways. Forgiven sinners today see their children do wrong, and they show them that it's wrong. They show them the horrors of sin, and they teach them to confess and look to Christ. And they show them and talk to them of how God forgives for Christ's sake. They teach their children, and forgiven sinners today teach others in the church that commit gross sins or have walked in a certain sin. They walk alongside them forgiven sinners go to that one that they see walking in a wrong way, and they approach them humbly. They humbly show to them that what they're doing is not right. And then they say, let's go to the cross together because I sin too. Let's look for forgiveness in Jesus' blood together. And I'm going to walk right along with you and help you turn. And you keep me accountable too. Let's help each other walk in the ways of the Lord. That's how forgiven sinners today teach transgressors God's ways. And they teach those that aren't churchgoers too. They see others at work, or they see somebody at college that is walking in a wrong way, and really it's bringing misery into their lives because that's what sin does. And they can see maybe them hurting. They look for that opportunity to talk to them. Talk to them about God's ways. And they humbly share those ways of God with that sinner. That's not, again, that's not just what office bearers do. That's what forgiven sinners do. We are forgiven sinners. Let's do this then. Being forgiven, we may not now ignore those around us who have done or who are doing wrong. We may not think, well, they're too gross of a sinner for me to help. Or that sinner, they're hard to talk to, they're hard to deal with, so I don't think it's for me. It's for me to go try to help. And we may not just hear about a sin or see a sin and then go off and say, did you hear about this or did you hear about that? What a temptation that is. And we may say, well, the elders, they'll take care of it, or they're the ones that are especially to take care of it. It's their job. No, as those who've been given forgiveness and those who've been given such joy this morning, things we do not deserve, may we then go out and teach others in gratitude. We're qualified to do so. We have been turned by God's marvelous grace and brought to confess. We've been declared forgiven. We have joy. We know we've tasted all of that. By God's grace, then we're qualified to go and speak to others. So let's do that. Let's do that in thankfulness to God for the forgiveness we know. When we see sinners this week, remember God's forgiveness. Remember the joy you've been given. And teach them. Forgiven sinners use their mouths to teach. And second, they use their mouths to sing and declare God's greatness. The text first mentions, out of those two things, singing and declaring God's greatness, the text first talks about, in verse 14, singing of God's righteousness. That's what forgiven sinners do. That's what David was determined. That's what he says he would be determined to do when forgiven. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He would sing of God's righteousness. Now, righteousness, that term especially refers to God's faithfulness and God's goodness here. The term righteousness means to be in line or to be in agreement with God's standard. Well, God is righteous. He stands in agreement with His own standard, the law. That God is righteous, though, also means that He is a good God. He is a God that is kind to His people and loves them. The word righteous often has the idea of being good to His people in Scripture. In Psalm 31, verse 1, for instance, we read, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Being righteous, God is good to His people. And being righteous, God is faithful to His people. He's a righteous God, so he doesn't go back on his promises. He's faithful. So when David, in the context of talking about his sin and being forgiven, David says he will sing about God's righteousness. Well, he's especially meaning there that he will sing about God's faithfulness and about God's goodness. He'll sing about that. The word sing in verse 14 literally means to shout with joy or to give a ringing cry. And that verb, to shout with joy or give a ringing cry, is often translated sing in the King James Version because that word comes up so often in the context of singing, in the context of songs. And David was a songwriter. He was one who wrote many songs. So the word is translated here, sing. Singing is a wonderful thing. To sing is to put words and music together. And it's often poetry. And the words flow nicely together. And David says, I'm going to sing about God's righteousness. I'm going to sing about His faithfulness and goodness to me, a sinner. I'm going to talk about that with words that flow so nicely together and are so memorable because of that. And remember that the term sing here means or has to do with joy. The root of the term means jubilation. So by using this term, David is saying that he would sing happily from the heart. If one's going to sing happily, it will be from the heart. And that's what David's going to do. He's going to sing of God's faithfulness and goodness happily. And he would do that to give thanks and praise to the God who had forgiven him and given him joy. By singing of God's faithfulness and His goodness, David would be saying, thanks God. And he would be helping others to praise and thank his great God. His songs would stick in the heads of the people. And they would sing them too. They would learn to sing psalms like Psalm 23. Say, my soul he doth restore again. Singing of God's faithfulness and goodness. And they would learn to sing psalms like Psalm 136. Give thanks to God, for good is He, His grace abideth ever. David, he would sing of God's righteousness and gratitude, and we, forgiven sinners, we follow David, and we too sing of God's righteousness and gratitude and with joy today. And we must. We have many opportunities to sing. We can sing at church today. We can sing at school tomorrow, kids. We can sing at home. Forgiven sinners, they want to do that. They want to do that. They want to sing of God's faithfulness and His goodness to give thanks to Him. Let's do that this week. Let's sing in gratitude as often as we can. Do that here, but let's do that in our homes too. We probably read the Bible around our tables, and that's a good thing to do. We read about God's faithfulness, His goodness to us who have sinned against Him. After we do that, let's sing too. Our kids know how to sing. Let's sing with them about God's faithfulness. Let's sing Psalm 23 with them from a young age about God being our shepherd and continuing to lead us and guide us. When driving to and from school or to and from work this week, what will we, forgiven sinners who've been given such joy, what will we listen to? What will we sing maybe in our cars this week? Let's sing of God's righteousness. And every opportunity we can, let's sing and sing happily too. Tomorrow morning, you know, when I was here last time, the kids, I think, gathered and all together as one in the school on Monday morning. and sang praise to God there. Tomorrow, kids, when you go there and sing, remember how God has forgiven you for Jesus' sake. And remember the joy that He's given to you. And sing with that joy. Let's do that in church in a moment too, when we sing our next Psalter number, remembering what we've been given. Forgiven sinners sing, and they also declare God's praise with their general everyday speech. David said that he would do that. Verse 15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. There in verse 15, that means my mouth will declare thy praise. So my mouth will glorify you, O God. David would praise God in song. The idea of verse 15 is he's also going to praise God with what he says to others as much as he possibly can, as often as he can. He would look for opportunities to talk to others about God's forgiveness, about His faithfulness, about His goodness. He would try to do that with his family. He would do that with his servants. He would do that with his soldiers. Maybe even before a battle, talk to them about that forgiveness they've been given, the hope that they have in Jesus Christ, God's faithfulness to His promise, and how He would send His Son. He would talk about that to the praise of God. What about us? How will we use our mouths in our general speech this week? We say a lot of words. We use our mouths a lot. In fact, on average, we say at about 7,000 words a day, the average person does. And even the quietest person speaks 800 words a day. How will we use our mouths? When we start to think about how we use our mouths, we begin to see our weaknesses. Will I use my mouth this week to complain about what God has sent? Will I use my mouth this week to talk about others and how they did this or that wrong, and I sure wouldn't do it that way? I don't think that's the right way. Will we use our mouths to talk about how great we are and our successes? Or will we use them to speak of God's greatness? Being forgiven, being given such joy today, let's use our mouths to speak His praise. Look for opportunities to talk about forgiveness and goodness, God's goodness to your children. Again, have those devotions this week around your table. Do that. Make time for it. Look for opportunities to talk about His greatness to others in church. Talk about this sermon. Talk about the care that God has shown to a particular member, maybe in the church who was sick or facing some other difficulties, or just the care of His church in general. Talk about God's greatness with other members of the church. And speak of His greatness to others around you at college or at work. Look for opportunities. That's what the forgiven college student does. Maybe you're partnered up with another student. You have to work with them a lot. Well, look for any opportunity you can to talk about who your God is to you. Do that with your coworkers as well. Students at school. Go to school with fellow believers, but sometimes the other students need encouragement too. Sometimes they're hurting. If you see another student hurting, talk to them, speak to them, how God's with them, how God's with us. He's faithful. He's been with you before. He'll keep being with us. He'll give us what we need. So this week when you open your mouth, and we do open our mouths a lot, when you open your mouth, remember God's faithfulness, His goodness, His forgiveness. And use your mouth to speak His praise and gratitude. Last, in the context of talking about forgiveness, David speaks a prayer to God in the text. And he uses his mouth, or he uses his mouth to ask for strength, to use his lips rightly. Verse 15, David says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So David prays for strength with his lips. The Lord is the one that supplies the strength to teach transgressors, sing God's praise, and to declare that praise in our everyday speech. We would never do that on our own, ever. We each have a sinful nature, as we heard this morning. Psalm 51, verse 5 says that we are brought forth in iniquity and conceived in sin. We've been regenerated, but we still have that sinful nature. And having it, we would never use our mouths in our own strength to praise God in thankfulness. We'll leave today, and left to ourselves, we would forget God's forgiveness. We'd forget what He does for us, and instead of going forward and teaching the sinner, we would be silent about the sinner, or we'd just talk about him. And instead of singing God's praise, we'd have the songs of the world on our lips, or when we actually stand and we're singing with the other kids at school, we would just have our minds wandering. We wouldn't really care. Left to ourselves, instead of declaring God's greatness to others, we would remain silent about Him. We'd talk about everything else under the sun, but not that. The Lord is the one that supplies the strength. David makes that clear here. Notice that David calls God Lord. In verse 15, he says, O Lord, open thou my lips. Jehovah is the Lord, and that means He's the ruler over everything. He is able then, or powerful enough, to bring our tongues to teach transgressors, to sing God's praise, and to talk about His greatness. He's the Lord. He's able to do it. He's able to bring our tongues to give Him praise, and He's willing. He's willing to do that for us because He sees us in Jesus Christ. He sees us as righteous in Christ. God opens the lips of those whom He forgives. He opens the lips of those whom He sees not as guilty, but as perfectly righteous in Christ. He doesn't open the lips of those He sees as guilty. The guilty sinner before Him must die in sin and die in sin forever. But God opens the lips of those whom He sees as righteous in Jesus Christ. And so He opens the lips of us, forgiven sinners here, and strengthens us to teach transgressors, us to sing God's praise and declare it. Make sure you see today that all the gifts that the Lord bestows upon us are based upon the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. Based on Christ's work in paying for our sins, God forgives. Based on Christ's work in paying for our sins, God now strengthens us. He opens our lips. What a great Savior we have. Be amazed at that today. The forgiven sinner uses his speech then to pray to God to provide that strength that we need. We just saw that the Lord provides strength to His people. Well, He's pleased to provide it in the way of us praying for it. The forgiven sinner prays this petition that God would open his lips because he's so thankful for his forgiveness and the joy he's been given. So he wants to use his lips right. And he prays for it because he knows that he'll never use his lips rightly on his own. He knows the sin. He knows that he has a sinful nature. He knows he will not praise and thank God with his mouth and his own strength. So he calls out to God, "Open thou my lips." And the Lord, the sovereign God, is pleased to open our mouths as we pray for that opening. God is determined, understand, he's determined in eternity that his people will pray for strength. And God gives his people strength to pray for the opening of their lips. And then as his people pray for strength, he strengthens them. That is how he is pleased to work. He's sovereign in all of it. That's how he's pleased to work, using prayer. So pray. May that be our prayer as we go home today. May that be our prayer around the dinner table tonight. Pray, Lord, open my lips to teach transgressors thy ways. Lord, open my lips to sing and make my heart to sing with joy. And Lord, open my lips so that I declare your praise as often as I possibly can. He's worthy of that praise. We know it as those who've experienced such blessings today. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we pray that thou wilt open our lips, that we may use them to glorify thy name. We will not do it on our own. We wouldn't even pray for this on our own. Thou dost strengthen us to do that. Lord, thou art the sovereign God of our salvation. What a God thou art. Praise be to thee today. Praise be to thee by us this week. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.